This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, if you've been following the news and you're at all concerned about sustainability, things are looking a little bit bleak at the moment. The US has left the Paris Climate Agreement. Contrary to the recommendations of the UK Climate Change Committee, our government is giving the go-ahead to airport expansion, and extreme weather and wildfires are becoming more and more commonplace, to name just a few reasons, well, not to feel very cheerful. Coming up later, Kerry Trevitt of KT Life Coach has a few tips to help us with eco-anxiety. But first, a reason to feel much more cheerful is the fact that plans have been announced for this year's St Albans Sustainability Festival. Now, you might remember that last year the SusFest team had a change from their now familiar 2 weeks of community-led eco-events and instead brought us SusFest Expo, 2 days of sustainability-themed talks and workshops at the St Albans Arena. I spoke to St Albans Sustainability Festival committee members Jill Watson and Sonia Jefferson, and I started by asking them how they thought the SusFest Expo had gone.
We couldn't have asked for it to actually go better, I don't think. We engaged with 75% of new people, according to our Dropbox that we had where you could vote if you've been before or not. So we engaged with new people, which was great. We brought sustainability to the town centre. Everybody who joined in said it was a successful weekend for them. So I'm not sure how much more a little team like us could have done for it. So, yeah, we were really, really super pleased with it.
Yeah, I went along and I thought it was fantastic. You had some amazing speakers. It seemed like a really vibrant event. So can we look forward to another SusFest Expo?
Well, not just yet. It was a lot of work and we are quite a small team. So we won't be delivering another expo this year, but you never know what might happen in the future. One of the things that we did with last year's expo was it was pretty much done on a shoestring, but it was still quite a lot of money. You know, we had to hire the arena, and obviously we had to pay all the speakers, so there needed to be sponsorship for that, and we needed a comms person. There's so much around it. So if we were to do it again, that's the one thing that we would need, would be a lot more money. So we would be looking for sponsorship or funding in some way for another expo. But we've got quite an exciting SusFest coming up this year. And we're also looking for sponsors for that as well.
Jill, can you tell us what you've got lined up for us this year? It's not an expo, but what have you? Are we back to a 2 week SusFest?
Well, we're excited to share that actually this year we're doing something new again, and we're moving towards kind of like, we're calling it a seasonal format. So some of the feedback that we got from the expo itself and from previous years was that, you know, it would be interesting to have events throughout the year. And if we did something at different times of year, then we would be able to engage different kinds of events and different topics. So this year we're going to have 4 weekends, mini festival events in March, May, September, and November. So it's going to kind of hopefully mean that people can think about the events that they want to put on, and it can be a wider range possibly of subjects. But we're going back to the model where it's very community led and the events will be run by the community and they'll register them with us and then we'll promote that.
You've really followed the seasons there, so hopefully that will be reflected in these seasonal SusFest weekends. But I wondered, will there be any more themes involved? Will there be anything, any particular focus for each of these weekends?
Yeah, we have got 4 specific themes, and they're kind of based on in some part of the time of the year, but then in some part what's generally been happening in the SusFest world. So for the first one in March, we've got nature and biodiversity. For the second one in May, we've got the theme local to global. In September, we've got travel and transport. And in November, it's actually going to be the 10th year of SusFest, so kind of a celebration weekend. And these themes are, you know, they're to give people ideas or to give people the freedom to try something maybe a bit different. It's not limiting. You can register events that are not particularly themed around those titles, but it's just to give a bit of a wider range, really, for people to explore.
Now, Sonia, you were talking about funding assistance. So are you looking for sponsorship for all of these seasonal SusFests, or would you want funding just for one at a time or for particular events? What kind of thing are you looking for? What could you do with help with?
Yeah, so we're looking for sponsorship for any of the above, really. We would happily take sponsorship for the theme. If it happened to work with your business was or whoever you are that you wanted to do a particular theme, we could do that for the weekend or across all of them. Yeah, we're not fussy, really. Just and any sponsorship would be good sponsorship.
could you, Sonia, I don't know if you could give us an idea about some of the people who have, or some of the companies that have given sponsorship previously, just to give us an idea of some of the companies that have benefited from this.
Right, so we've had some really big sponsors in the past, such as Octopus EV and Acom. But we've also had some smaller sponsors or big people who've given us little bits of money, actually. So Waitrose have always been super supportive of us, and local estate agents are generally quite supportive, and a few solicitors companies, I think.
So a good range, and presumably we just get in touch with Sustainable St Albans if we are interested in that. And how about if we're interested in running an event, how do we go about that?
So if you go onto the Sustainable St Albans website, which is sustainablestalbans.org, there is a drop-down menu that is specifically for SusFest and an online registration form on there. So groups and individuals can go straight on there and put their information straight into the website. We then just check that and see if we've got all the information that we need before publishing that on the website. And we're hoping that that process will be open pretty much by the 1st of Feb, so that things will start appearing as and when they are registered as events. So if you were thinking of doing something and you didn't know whether there was anything similar going on at the same time, then you can just go on and see if anything's already in place there. So it's an easy and straightforward process. If you have got any questions or want to kind of run anything by the team, there is a specific email, sustfest@stalbans.org, but it's all there on the website and it's ready to go when the groups and the individuals are ready to go on with registration.
Okay. Now, in previous years, when there's been a two-year festival, we've had a brochure to tell us about all the fantastic events that have been taking place. Will you be doing anything like that with the mini festivals, or are we looking at the website for that as well?
Well, we usually do a combination of things. Our events calendar has got a functionality where we can do a PDF version of a brochure, basically. So there will be a summary of what events are going on that people can access. We're hoping to have more of a presence on social media and kind of make sure that everything's there on our platforms. We try and make sure that we've got various places for people to look. We do have a monthly newsletter that goes out, which will summarize as well some of the things that are going on. So, but initially, if people keep an eye on the website, and then if that's not the format for them, then obviously, you know, we can feed back and we can have a look at other things.
Okay. So remind us, when's that first seasonal SusFest coming up?
So I've got all of the dates here if you want the dates for all of them, because actually registration is open for everything from now. You don't just have to register the first weekend first. So in March, we've got the 14th to the 17th. And you'll notice that those dates include the Friday and the Monday, so that businesses, if they wanted to do something on a Friday or a Monday, can do that. Or the groups, if it's better at the weekend to do. So we've got a 4-day weekend that people can use. And then when we move into May, it's the 16th to the 19th. September, it's the 19th to the 22nd. And November is the 14th to the 17th. So basically the third weekend of those months. And on the Sunday of those weekends, it coincides with the Harpenden Sustainability Market. So there'll be plenty going on in both St Albans and Harpenden, and hopefully the surrounding villages as well. So it's across the whole district.
And Sonia, can you just remind us of the kind of groups that could be involved in this? It's not just businesses, is it? It's all sorts of people.
We want absolutely everyone to be involved. I mean, the most obvious are like your community garden, your allotments groups, things like that for nature and biodiversity. But honestly, anyone at all, especially when it gets down to travel and transport, we'd love for sort of bus companies or taxi companies or something like that to get in touch with us and run something. And then when we get onto our 10-year celebration, well, we absolutely want everybody in the district just to be celebrating that and know that we're what we're about. Don't have to be affiliated to anybody. I mean, a gentleman asked me the other day if he could just do one for himself because he had a very keen interest in something particular that he'd like to share with the community. And I said, absolutely.
Wonderful. Why not? And when we're talking about holding an event, it doesn't have, I mean, it could be a fabulous speaker talk or a film or something, but it doesn't have to be, does it? Again, you're quite open there.
Yeah, it can be such a wide range of things. I mean, in the past, we've used a framework called the bioregional framework just to show that it can be any topic and particularly like most formats. I mean, if you want to show a film that's of a specific interest, if somebody's got a case study that they want to share, if somebody's been doing some beautiful wildlife photography and want to kind of, you know, display that or run a competition. I mean, it really does fit into very many areas. And also, it's easy for people to run something that they enjoy and that they want to share or that their community group might be doing already, but they want to share to maybe give an inspiration to somebody else. So have a think about what you enjoy, maybe something you want to learn about or something you want to teach others. And it, you know, really kind of the possibilities are endless there.
Indeed. Well, do you know something? It's brightened my day thinking of something that we've got to look forward to this year. So, Jill, Sonia, thank you very much indeed for telling us about that.
Thank you so much.
I was talking there to St Albans Sustainability Festival committee members Jill Watson and Sonia Jefferson. And I'll make sure that the links from this show go into the notes that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Now, someone else who is involved in this year's SustFest seasons is Kerry Trevitt of KT Life Coach. She emailed amanda.yorworth@mix926.com to ask if she could share some of her tips on how to have a sustainable mindset for a more sustainable life. I spoke to Kerry and I started by asking her, with so much environmental bad news at the minute, how can we keep a positive outlook?
The best way for people to retain their healthy mindset, because I'm a mindset coach, is to look at what you can control. And what you can control are the controllables, and that's your mindset. So fundamentally, you need to look at, do you need to reduce your time online? Because yes, it's important to be well informed, but if it's making you have eco-anxiety, then you will need to then reduce your time to not overload your mind. And it's focusing on the gratitude of what you have got. You are healthy. You have got a roof over your head. You have got food at home, water. It's breaking it down to look at the most important priorities and realizing that the more you focus on the gratitude, the more likely you are to feel more upbeat. And it's practicing these consistent healthy habits that will help you to have a sustainable lifestyle.
As you say, there are so many things in Hertfordshire that we should be thankful for. But I suppose one of our concerns is that environmental breakdown could actually threaten those fundamentals for life, things like a supply of fresh water that we so take for granted. How do you think we should face up to that?
It's people power. It's sticking together and actually saying, you know, this isn't acceptable. This is what we should have. And how are we going to approach it? Again, the people of Hertfordshire, it's connecting together with communities to learn that these things are happening. Water supplies, all of these things could potentially break down at some point. However, there is hope, because if we all stick together and get these strategic plans into place, it's that connectivity and that community that's going to then guide us through the pivotal period.
Another thing that can make us feel somewhat negative and can stop us from doing anything is that everything we do can just seem a little bit small and fruitless in the face of such a huge problem. Have you got any suggestions for how we can stay motivated and feel that our contribution, you know, however tiny, because we are only one very tiny part of a big global community, how our tiny part can still feel valuable?
Every little step that someone can make in their own lifestyle is going to make an impact. The way that I combat my eco-anxiety is by essentially having a call to action. Just saying to yourself, okay, how can I reduce my lifestyle? How can I stop using single-use plastic? For instance, even something simple as going to the coffee shop, but taking a coffee cup with you that's reusable is one little step. If we stop purchasing it, they can't produce it. And just knowing you can just make one little small step is really, really important.
Yes, and to follow that one small step, hopefully with another.
Absolutely. It's that cascading, isn't it? That ripple effect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right indeed. So if we are thinking, okay, I do have eco-anxiety, everything does feel a little bit negative and overwhelming, but I will do something. There are so many things out there that we're being asked to do. How do we choose which one to start with?
It's a very good question. My three-step approach with my coaching is looking at one, which is the priority, which is personal wellness. Two, you've got home management. And three, your professional development. And every day, you will therefore then set your intentions for the next day and have those three manageable tasks that you can therefore then focus on. So then it's essentially just reducing the overwhelm that you don't need to have, because that's the problem. We've got far too much information.
That sounds like great advice, actually, just narrowing things down to three things that we can do each day, something nice and small, and focusing on those. Thank you very much for those tips, and I hope that they're really helpful.
Thank you for the conversation.
I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.